Well, she'll tell us.
Ready now.
She'll tell us.
Ready?
Yeah, I make a motion that we resume county
motion,
council
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, okay. Mr. Wilson, to come back into regular session
right.
for public hearings. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
How about yes, motion carried. Mr. Rutt.
Thank you, Mr. Vincent. This is the time and place for public hearings on three applications for zoning changes or conditional uses. And let me read some rules of procedure for such ordinances or zoning applications. And this will apply to all of the ones now before us. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, these are legislative hearings because county council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend this comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County in its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these affected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the planning and zoning hearings, and those minutes will be made a part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reason for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself, and if you have a written statement, hand it to me, and it will be made a part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that the prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission has deferred action, council will do so likewise. As stated, there are three applications today. The first is Conditional Use 1994, filed on behalf of Robert Wilkerson. And this is for purposes of an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an automobile repair shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 1.5 acres more or less, lying north of Route 88 Cave Neck Road, 340 feet east of Route 261 or Sweetbriar Road, and bearing tax map identification number of 235-22.00 18.09. Mr. Lang?
Yes. I don't see the applicant present. Is anyone here on behalf of the applicant, Robert Wilkerson? Counsel, I have no party present on behalf of the application.
Call him, please.
I just gave Robin the number.
Okay.
Should we proceed with the next application?
We'll go to number, conditional use 1995.
Okay. The next application.
Hold up a minute. Are you for the applicant, sir?
No, we're not. We're here to oppose.
Okay. We have to let him here talk first. So, okay. We're going to try to find him. Thank you.
So I assume that what you're going to do is move it to the bottom of the list.
Yep.
Just so you are aware.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to move to the next application, which is conditional use 1995, filed on behalf of Adele H. Fluharty. And this is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an excavating company storage of equipment and office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 5.34 acres more or less. This is land lying east of Road 279, Camp Arrowhead Road, 260 feet south of Road 279A, Waterview Road, with a tax ID number of 234-12.00-84.00 and a 911 address of 22379 Camp Arrowhead Road, Lewis. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on August 21st, 2014. Rendered their decision on September 11th, 2014. Provided the council with a copy of the survey site plan showing the existing improvements on the property. During the public hearing on August 21st, we did receive comments from DLDOT, which is described in the council report. We did receive comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. The commission was advised that there was a violation notice sent to the applicant, and the applicant did immediately apply for this conditional use application. We had received one letter in support of the application and four letters and or emails in opposition to the application, which were provided to the commission. Clint Fluharty was present on his behalf and gave testimony on behalf of the application. Terry Simmons, a resident of Waterview Road, spoke in support of the application and stated that the business has no impact on the area, that he has lived four properties from the site for 4 years and has no objection. Baron Stevenson, Connell Palick, and Richard Jennings, employees of the applicant, spoke in support of the application. Joe Weiser, an area resident, spoke in opposition to the application, gave testimony. Those comments are a part of the commission's report. On August 21st, the commission did defer action for further consideration. On September 11th of 2014, the commission discussed this application and rural business. Mr. Johnson stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1995 for an excavating company storage of equipment and office based upon the record made during a public hearing for the following reasons. One, the use is an existing one that has grown from a very small business on the applicant's property where the applicant's family resides. Based on this growth, a conditional use is required. Two, the property is well maintained and the area of the business is screened from view. Three, although there was some opposition to this application, the issues can be resolved through conditions placed on the approval. Four, I do not believe this use adversely affects traffic in the area. Five, the use is generally across the road from a similar, yet more visible, conditional use for a well drilling operation. And six, with the conditions and limitations placed upon this use, it will not adversely affect neighboring properties or the community. Seven, the use provides a benefit to Sussex County residents by providing a convenient but screened location for excavating services on a property owned by the applicant. Eight, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to the existing structures on the property. No additional structures shall be permitted. B, all entrances and roadway improvements shall be subject to DLDOT approvals. C, there shall not be any permanent outside storage of junked or inoperable vehicles, equipment, parts, or similar items. D, all dumpsters or trash receptacles shall be screened from view of neighboring properties or roadways. E, any security lighting shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. F, the areas for parking vehicles and equipment shall be shown on the final site plan and clearly marked on the site itself. G, all oils, hazardous substances, fluids, and similar substances shall be stored inside in accordance with all applicable laws and regulations and shall be disposed of the same way. H, the hours of operation shall be from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And I, the final site plan, shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. So it was a motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Ross, and carried with four votes to forward this application to Sussex County Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And that motion carried 4-1 with Mr. Burton abstaining since he was not present during the public hearing. But for the benefit of the record, the council was provided by email or copies of from staff, copies of letters in opposition from Anita Bartman, Mary McDaniel, and then there was an additional one from Marie McDaniels that included some photographs, included Ms. Bartman's letter, Marie's letter, and also a letter that was forwarded to the commission with questions about residents of Bay Oaks and Bay Wood with photographs. And council, that's all I have. Unless you have questions.
Did you say Bay Oaks and Bay Wood?
Bay Oaks.
And you didn't say Bay Wood?
No, I said okay. Bay, I meant to say Bay Oaks.
Okay.
But, and Bay Oaks, and there is a Bay Wood. Also,
but they're not responsible.
Not Baywood's.
They're not in
the big project. No.
They're not. Okay, thank you.
It's called Bay Oaks Baywood.
Gotcha.
I don't know if it's a phase within Bay Oaks project or not.
Okay, it's one unit.
Pictures, Lawrence. Could you send?
Yes, sir.
Send pictures down. So we're. Yeah.
Did you have anything further, Mr. Lyons?
This one. Okay, we have. That's for the other one. Now that's the other one. Here you go. That's for the other application.
There you go.
Is the applicant present?
Second one. Don't worry.
I'm Clint Fluharty, the owner of Dirtworks. I've had the business on that property since 1999, and previous to that, my father had a business on the same property. The land there has been in our family for years, way before that. My company has grown from me, myself, to now we have 12 full-time employees, one part. One young man is on co-op from high school. And then me and my wife. And we're just looking for conditional use so we can continue operating our business, you know, on the property and in that manner.
Anybody from?
I thought you were talking about an expansion.
No.
Not just continuation,
continual
no changes.
Use. No changes.
None
no changes.
Whatsoever. No. But planning and zoning must have visited you and encouraged you to come here, right?
Yes.
Yes. Gotcha.
Yes. Yes. Like I said, we started in 1999 with just me, and it's slowly grown into what we have now.
That's the way it's done here.
Yeah.
Your father started a masonry business in 1973 or 74. Is that right?
The first shop on the property.
That's what you stated in
the
minutes.
The first shop on the property was built in 1973 by him for his business there.
So what are you doing that the neighbors are so upset? I'm sorry, but I want to know.
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
We started in 99 before any of the other developments were around us. My personal house is on Waterview Road, which is, that road is considered the one development.
Mm-hmm.
And the other development is behind us, and I think it started in 2001 or something. I'm not sure of that date.
And you made no changes?
We took a couple trees down,
uh-huh,
which was behind my own personal house for more parking for our trucks and stuff, and that's when all this came about. but the trees themselves were behind my own personal house.
Mm-hmm. So you have additional space in which to do business?
Yes.
I don't think we're limited on that, Mr. Landcomer. I don't think we have a limit on that, on the space.
No, he's applied for it at either the site.
Any problem with doing that?
The question was that the father operated a masonry business.
Right.
Clint was operating the business on his own, mm-hmm. so the, basically he was a home occupation of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a full-time business with employees, so that's lower impact.
Mm-hmm.
He's improved the business, so he's got 12 employees now. So then it becomes the issue of whether or not he needs to go through a public hearing. And the commission felt it was appropriate that he did go through the public hearing.
Right, so the public knows why. And okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you. Is there anyone here appearing in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to the application?
In favor.
Oh, okay. Please come forward.
My name is George Fluarty.
Yes,
I had the business on there originally, 1973. I was a masonry contractor. And we worked out of there for about 15 years. I had 40 people working with me back there at that time when we moved to Rehoboth. And, you know, everything's been well maintained, kept back there for years. And like I said, Clint said, it seems like when he cut those few trees, people started complaining. And I think if you look at the stuff he's laid out, he has planted trees back. He's put fence up, willing to do whatever he can to help the situation out. Any questions?
So there wasn't a whole bunch of trees cut back from one of these the property lines?
That place had been
cut
out.
Just the two trees? Just the two trees? Is that what you...
No, they cut more than two.
Uh-huh.
But the trees that he cut was directly behind his own house.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
it was on that property that he's maintaining the business on.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, they're trying to make everybody happy. He's put solid fence up. I think there's pictures of it.
Yes.
He's planted Leyland cypress all the way across there that anybody knows it. In 5 or 10 years, you're not going to see anything.
100 feet tall.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's sort of been taken care of, really. I mean, he's planted trees.
Yeah. He's done what he can do. Yeah.
Mr. Fluhart, you need to sign the register there.
There's a few hardy in Georgetown. You had me scared for a minute. I thought you were coming up for the opposition.
So did I.
That could have been
a little slow. A little slow on the draw.
Well, I was getting ready to get up.
I was wondering.
Yeah, any other questions of Mr. Fluhardy?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Fluhardy. Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak in favor of the application? Anyone who wishes to speak in opposition to the application? Why don't we just go start on the aisle and go across? Thank you.
Good afternoon, council members. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak on the ordinance request of Adele Fluhardy. My name is Marion Featheroff, and I'm currently living at 22589 Waterview Road, Lewis, Delaware. I have lived at this residence for the past 14 years. Since Mr. Fluhardy removed approximately 135-foot tree buffer along Waterview Road in the back of his house, his business has been exposed to the Bay Woods, Bay Oaks community. I am speaking against part of his business in the agriculture residential district, which is practically in my backyard. It's about three doors up. Since the removal of the tree buffer, it has become an eyesore in the neighborhood and a health issue. This visible eyesore only devalues the neighborhood. Recently, new lots have gone on sale on Waterview Road. If I was looking for property to build a house or to purchase a house on the street, I wouldn't, just due to the fact of the view alone. Unfortunately, the current residents are stuck with it. Beside the unsightly view, I have the unfortunate opportunity to smell diesel fumes emanating from his company. On a particular day when I wanted to walk my dog, clouds of diesel fumes hovered over the neighborhood. Therefore, I had to turn around, go home, and I closed my windows. Also, the sound coming from the company is resounding. Another example, on Saturday, September the 20th, in the early morning, thunderous banging noises coming from the company. Fortunately, I was up early. But what about the other neighbors? You hear louder shouting, trucks backing up warning signs, and also banging noises. Mr. Fluharty did put a fence up, and he also noticed that he did put some trees up. Although he placed the fence along the backyard, you can still view, smell, and hear the company. The Sussex Planning and Zoning Commission will send questions from a resident in the community. I would like to know if the questions have been addressed and also in written form. Who's going to ensure that the excavating company is in compliance, and how will this situation be rectified? I have invested and enhanced my property since 2000, and I do not appreciate that increasing the Fluharty business in the agricultural residential district will only devalue my neighborhood. Who wants to continuously hear, smell, and view a business in your neighborhood? Would you want this in your neighborhood also? Thank you.
Can I get your last name again?
I have a question.
Can I get your last name?
Featheroff.
I have a question. I read your letter. And
thank you. I was wondering, because I did send a letter.
I did read that. And I was wondering what started this off, because it sounds like there was a sudden change.
When Mr. Fluharty cut down the tree buffer, there was a large tree buffer, and you will see that. We have pictures from Google Earth of the extensiveness of the tree buffer that was there.
Okay.
Then all of a sudden, we began to smell. The sounds were resounding louder in the neighborhood. The smell, the diesel fumes. Like I said, I was walk my dog, and that diesel fumes, because you have, for diesel trucks, I guess they have to idle for a while, and there was just a blue haze over the neighborhood, and then I started smelling it. And then when I walked a little bit further, I noticed all the trucks just idling, so I just turned around and went back to my house.
But
so.
That's sort of recent?
Every once in a while, you still smell the diesel fumes, but that one day, it was probably about...
It was just right for it, I bet you.
Yes, it just landed right there, and it just hovered. Mm-hmm. And the weather was right, and the wind was correct, and it just laid there right in the neighborhood.
Well, when you bought your home, did you see it then?
No, I didn't, to be honest with you.
Why is that?
Because it was concealed through the tree buffer. That was
tree buffer.
Yeah, because I did go down the street, looked at the neighborhood, and that's why I bought there, because it was a really nice neighborhood. And I didn't even notice it. It wasn't until, you know, I lived there and I started hearing sounds or whatever, and I wasn't sure where that was coming from. And then walking the dog, I could see something between the trees, but it wasn't until the removal of all those trees back there.
Does it run all hours, day and night? Or?
It's early in the morning. Huh. Definitely can hear that early in the morning, especially around 7 o'clock, I guess, when things start going. And then in the afternoon, sometimes during the
Sunday
day.
Sunday, too?
Not on Sunday. On some days during the day.
Right. Okay.
But it's a lot of times, and especially in the morning and at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. But it was not an eyesore to you when you bought the house, because there was a nice tree line, is what you're saying. You know, it just obscured the view that you're objecting to. Is that correct?
Absolutely obscured the view. Mm-hmm. And I understand he did put a fence there, but how long is we going to have to wait? 15, 20 years? And there are lots and new homes, you know, there's homes for sale, new lots. I wouldn't buy there right now if it was me.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Federer.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Ma'am? Oh, sorry.
I'll sign this when I'm done. I had a longer
Please
note.
Please say your name.
My name is Anita Bartman, and I live at 22602 Waterview Road in Lewis, Delaware. And I won't read everything that I had written because a lot of it is the same as Marion's. But I would just like to affirm also that this all began when the tree line came down. I was always told there was a small sawmill behind those trees, never heard noise, saw anything, smelled anything until after that came down. And it wasn't just a couple trees. It was 135 feet at the very narrowest portion of those trees that came down. You can see that when the map that you, I'm sure you received a copy from Google Map.
Did you get a reason why that was done?
Did we get a reason?
Did he say something about why he did that?
No, I as I stated in my letter that I sent, I go up and down that road every day. I either ride my bicycle or walk my dog. And one day I just did a double take and saw that all this was, all the trees were gone and this big company was there. And my question was, how did a company grow to that size on a residentially zoned area? I mean.
Well, you know, it's been there a long time.
Well, if that hasn't been there a long time.
Nope.
His father started a company there. It was a small company. And as he stated himself, since 1999, that grew from a one person with part-time family and friends, which he stated in September, to 12, he stated 15 employees in September. So it has really grown. And our feeling is it's getting too large for the lot that it's on. And that's why he cut down so many trees to make more room for parking equipment. And another question we have is this going to be limited just to his company? I mean, we would like to know if there's any, you know, if any other equipment could be brought in there and stored. And I did send a letter, a copy of my letter to Senator Lopez. He called me after receiving my letter, and he stated to me, he said, after reading your letter, I don't understand what you're complaining about. I go down Camp Arrowhead Road many times. My children go to the camp down there, and he said, I don't know what you're seeing that I don't see. And I said, well, my problem isn't on Camp Arrowhead Road. It's on Waterview Road. And I ran into him later in person, and he told me he did ride down and he saw what the issue was with the community.
So. Well, did he say yes or no? What did he saw it and then what?
Well, he just...
No comment.
No, he just... I got the impression he sort of realized that he wouldn't like that either, but I'm not saying he said that because I don't want to...
Okay.
I don't want to put words in his mouth.
He doesn't vote on it anyway.
He doesn't vote on it. You're right. But he's the senator in that area.
I never were. We're not going to let him vote this time.
We're not going to let him vote? No. Oh.
And I like him, too.
I like him, too.
Ma'am, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to talk.
Okay. Any other questions of Ms. Bartman? Thank you. And I believe you were next, ma'am.
Another ma'am.
Another ma'am.
My name is Gretchen Klein, and my address is 8 Bay Oak Drive. I actually live about a third of a mile south of the Fluhartys. But when this started up and we began to realize that it was indeed that tree buffer behind the homes on Waterview that had disappeared, I was sort of asked to see if I could evaluate that. My background since I've moved to Delaware is we bought in a development, again, south of the Fluhartys in Bay Oak, and they had clear-cut our property down to the ground. So what I've done for the last 6 years is try to reforest and repopulate that property with native plants. And if we had lots of time, I'd show you pictures, but I won't do that today. But what I did is I brought some handouts, and I hate to do that to you, but I think this is probably the only way to explain what we're looking at, okay? Now, be patient with me. I'd like to go through this with you. There should be a variety of things in there. Now, the top group.
I don't vote either.
You don't want to vote?
No, I don't vote.
He doesn't have a vote either.
I can share with Mr. Wilson.
As with Mr. Lopez, we don't let him vote either.
We don't let any of those people vote.
All right. If you'll remove your paper clips. No. The first group, and I do have copies for the Fluhartig. The first group of pictures is just basically what Waterview looks like when you come in off Camp Arrowhead. All right, it's a nice little suburban neighborhood. The lots vary from probably a half to a full acre, or even more than that. Okay, so good size property. You can see on these first pictures, these are fairly important, how much wooded land is behind the properties on Waterview. If you look at this one particularly, all right, really heavily wooded. Let me give them one of these. I'm sorry, guys.
Is this prior to them being cut down?
I beg your pardon?
Is this prior to them being cut down?
This is prior to being cut down. This is what it looked like. If you look at the bottom, uh-huh, the capture date is July 2012.
Oh.
All right. So that sort of, you know, walks you down from Camp Arrowhead to the end of the area. So really nice looking group. Uh-huh. Now, before we go too much further, this is the handout that I'd like to talk about right now. These also were taken, these are aerial views that were taken in 2012 before the trees were cut down. All right, so it's beautiful. I mean, the Fluhartig property is here. This is Waterview, all right? And these are all the properties that have become involved in the removal of the trees. Right? If you look at the second piece, this is also 2012. And what I tried to do to evaluate this was to take the narrowest width of the tree line, and it looks like it's about 127 feet. Now that's canopy. Right? This is mature woods. The tallest trees and the oldest trees in this area, in this grouping, were probably 75 to 85 feet tall. They were mature. I'm not talking today about the understory, because that's a different thing. That cannot be replicated. All right, now, the second set of pictures. These are current street views. Again, coming in from Arrowhead, this one is, you can begin to see the equipment behind this first house.
Yep, you have to speak into the microphone.
I will.
Well, Mike won't
pick
it up.
This is what happens when you teach. Let me give you attention to that. But you can begin to see the where the trees were cut down and what the people can now see from Waterview. The second one is the same thing. You know, the trees have been cut down to a width of a minimum of 127 feet and probably 80 feet down. And the last one is the last house in that particular group. And you can see behind that house that all the trees are gone as well. I am not an arborist, but if you have 80 feet tall trees, understory that's all native, and it is approximately 137 feet deep, the effect that that has on noise, visual, goes without saying, filtering things like diesel fumes, things of that sort. That tree line was critical to keeping that separated from the residents on Waterview. So we can't make the trees come back. I'm reminded of the owner of the Redskins, but that's a different story as well.
Did you say this is where you can see the equipment? I can't see the equipment.
Peeking through the back.
Yeah, if you're peeking through back here, John.
If that's equipment on the back. That's white thing back there.
The white thing?
And right.
Yeah, and if you look at the picture from the before shots, okay, you can see that the tree line is gone. I don't know. I know, German. You know, we work with her. I don't know how long a section it was,
uh-huh.
And I couldn't tell that because I don't have afters of the aerials. But after talking to suppliers and someone who's helped me with my native plants and my experience, my recommendation might be to try to reforest this. Now, that sounds like a big deal. I don't think it is. I don't know how much of that buffer zone is left. But I think if you look at the back, this last list, Brian, I put down four species that are fast growers, as probably most of you know because they pop up in your yard. Loblolly pines grow very fast. They should be up a couple of feet. If we start at 6 to 8 feet, we're going to have good coverage probably within 3 years. This is what's happened on my property. Red maples. Wonderful trees, grow very fast. Again, at 8 feet, you're going to have some filtering within a couple of years. Sweet gum, can't kill them if you want them to, okay? Tulip trees also. So those are four particular varieties, species, that if they were planted, it's not going to give these people any sort of relief within probably 5 to 6 years, but it's a start. And the recommended planting, what an arborist might recommend for planting, would be a mix of these trees. You could use all one, but I think if they're mixed, it's going to give you more filtering faster. So if you planted trees 10 to 12 feet apart, which is a recommendation, and again, I don't know how long the section was that was cut down, but if they were to buy trees that were about 8 feet tall on any of these particular trees that I've mentioned and plant them 10 to 12 feet apart, staggering them, you know, trying to know that you're going to present a screen for a 30 by 100 foot section, we would be looking at a total of 40 trees. Now, I picked 30 feet for a depth out of my ear, mainly because I'm concerned about the cost to the Fluhardys and just getting this thing started. So that would require a buffer zone now of at least 30 feet from the back of the properties into the Fluhardy land, and every 100 feet you would have 40 trees.
Didn't he plant something already?
I beg your pardon?
Didn't he already plant something?
You can see some of the pictures, there's a small group of arborvitaes.
Leland cypress? No.
Arborvitaes.
Leland cypress.
Not what I would.
Arborvitae. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. But unfortunately, I'm afraid the ones that they chose are not the fast-growing ones. But that's, again, that's only this depth.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my recommendation. That and 50 cents won't buy you a cup of coffee. But this might be some sort of help to the residents in maybe 3 years.
Does the fence help at all?
I'm sorry?
Does the fence help
at
all?
The fence, I'm guessing, is maybe 4 feet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's 6 feet. Okay.
6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
And how long is it?
Excuse me, ma'am. You can't.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know the length of it. It does not extend the whole length.
You're basically saying we should. The planning and zoning and county council should look at a buffer.
Please.
Put on the Fluhardy property. have a planted buffer would be advantageous.
It would be wonderful.
Other than arborvitae.
Well, I don't know about other, just a planted veg, I don't know, I'm not an expert in trees.
No, I'm just asking. Thank you.
Do you have anything further, Ms. Klein? Any other questions?
Well, I heard 40 employees, the former owner, I think he testified he had 40 employees. Did I misunderstand that? My hearing aids are on the way, but...
I heard the same thing.
Yeah, okay, on that property.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, okay.
Currently, there's about 14 or so.
Yeah, I understand, but I had heard 40 earlier, about the earlier business. Okay.
I think we need to get straight, they don't work there. That's just where they come and go to work.
Is that true? Is that true?
I don't know.
They don't work there. They go from there. Yes, they go to
that's
go to.
The place from
that's where they start.
They park the car there or something. Pick up their machine or whatever.
Excuse me. Let me find out if there's anybody else.
I'm sorry.
Opposite. Yeah. Is there anyone else here to speak in opposition to this application? Seeing none, we'll close the public record.
We'll close the public record. Then it's okay with council. We'll close the public hearing.
Yeah. I got a question for Mr. Lang. Go ahead. Okay. We see the recommendations. There was some testimony here about a buffer.
Right.
Is there planning and zoning can impose a buffer, or do we have to, do they do it as part of their usual?
If there's a buffer to be imposed, it would have to be done by council at this time because the commission can't go back and recommend.
They haven't recommended one.
They did not make reference to a buffer.
They didn't make any reference.
We could, right.
Mm-hmm. Do they have the ability to, during their process, if it goes back for the site plan process, can they still put a buffer in if they?
No.
Okay. So a buffer would be.
Have to come from council in this case.
Right now.
And so we did hear that the applicant has already started a buffer.
That's what I heard.
That's what we've heard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there any consensus that maybe we just include in one of the conditions a buffer
yes. I think they're kind of fortunate in one way. They've already testified this is agriculture land. It's already zoned that way, right? What would ever stop them from putting a chicken house there or putting a hog pen there?
Chicken house?
What would stop it?
I would vote for a buffer.
I don't think a chicken house. But anyway, okay.
What kind of
buffer are you talking about?
I'm just... We've got a fence
and we got some trees.
I'm just saying that they've already started one, that we just say a buffer would be included of X amount of feet along that property line separating them. And they've already started one, so it doesn't seem like it's going to be that much of an impact. It would just be part of the conditions, and they would... And I'd let planning and zoning make the suggestion on how they want it, but I would just say, you know, put a buffer of a, what's a good buffer that we typically look at, Lawrence?
Well, typically the ordinance used to say 30, and it was changed to 20 for a residential project next to an agriculture activity, but mm-hmm. that was the difference. That's the old ordinance was 30. And the new ordinance is 20-foot buffer around the perimeter of the property. That's for residential versus, it could be next to another residential project or it could be next to agriculture, it doesn't change.
I'll make a recommendation that we maybe add a 20-foot buffer.
Why is it a requirement of the owner to put a buffer up? Why doesn't a neighbor's side of them put a buffer up?
Well, it's a residential agricultural area, right, and this is not agriculture.
I live on agriculture land, George, and the neighbors sometimes didn't like my dust, they didn't like my farming practice. So they put a buffer up. Why am I required to put a buffer up to protect those that want to live side of me? Why am I required?
This isn't a farm.
But why? It is. It's own agriculture.
All right. Well, I know. I can tell by looking at it.
You can start at 5 acres. You can start it. Then first thing you know, it'll be 2 acres. Okay. Go anywhere you want to go. Just keep right along.
I understand.
Where's the stop at?
20 feet. I'm suggesting a 20-foot buffer.
Well, he's already met it. As far as I'm concerned, I think the man's out.
Well, then
I think he's good-hearted. He done it on his own.
I'm just saying it doesn't impact anything. If he's
I don't think it should be required.
I want to go look at it.
You want to go look at it?
Yeah, I do.
But I move we defer. Is that something we want to do?
All right.
I'm with you.
When Mr. Rutt?
Yes.
Can Mr. Phillips make a motion to defer at this point?
I'll second it.
Yes.
Well, first thing we got to do is read the short title. We got to read the short title before we do anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we can have that motion.
Okay.
To whatever.
Okay. Be ready for the.
Please read the short title.
To go to that. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an excavating company storage of equipment and office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 5.34 acres, more or less. This conditional use 1995, filed on behalf of Adele H. Fluharty.
Do I have a motion?
I move we defer.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next, sir.
Next is conditional use 1997, filed on behalf of Skipjack Incorporated. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a commercial propane storage and CNG propane dispensing office and warehouse to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 15 acres more or less. This is land lying northwest corner of the DuPont Boulevard, US Route 113, and East Piney Neck Road, or Road 329, being tax ID number 133-11.00-1.00. Mm-hmm. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. This application was reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission on September 25th of 2014. During the public hearing, the commission did review and discussed in the presentation and discussions with the applicant the exhibit booklets I just passed down for your review. We heard comments from DLDOT, the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, and the Sussex Conservation District. Mark Dunkel, attorney, and others were present and gave testimony describing the intended use. Terry Timmons was present in support of the application. Ray Hopkins was present in support of the application. There were no parties present in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Rawl stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1997 for Skipjack Incorporated for a commercial propane storage and CNG propane dispensing office and warehouse based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the use is located along Route 113, which is a major highway in Sussex County. This is an appropriate location for the proposed use, and it is centrally located in the county. Two, the use is of a public or semi-public character that will provide a safe and convenient alternate fuel dispensing facility along with propane storage, office, and warehouse uses serving the emerging alternate fuel market. Three, the design will meet all state and national fire regulations. It will also be required to adhere to federal and state regulations governing the construction and operation of this type of facility. Four, the use is consistent with other zoning districts and business and commercial uses in the area of Route 113. These include a crematorium, a construction and hot mix production facility, manufactured home sales, equipment rental, mulch and stone paver sales, tractor and mower sales and service, and a fuel oil and propane dealership. Five, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties, the community, or area roadways. Six, the project adds employment in Sussex County. And seven, this recommendation of approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT entrance and access requirements. B, the applicant shall comply with all state, federal, and local regulations regarding the facility. C, any security lights shall be screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. D, the applicant shall comply with the landscape buffering requirements of the highway corridor overlay zone, and the landscape plan shall be included as part of the final site plan. E, the applicant shall have two lighted signs not to exceed 200 square feet per side. One sign shall be located along Route 113, and the other shall be located along East Piney Grove Road. F, the conditions of approval shall be noted on the final site plan. And G, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Ross, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the condition and stipulation stated, and that motion carried 5-0. For the benefit of the record, I did receive one additional correspondence in support. And I'll just say that because I can't read the handwriting. It's Chad something. So we do have another letter of support.
Chad.
Chad. Mm-hmm. Pardon? Really?
That's not like a hanging chair.
Well, it looks like that.
Anything further, Mr. Lang?
That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. I see Mr. Dunkel at the podium. I assume you're here on behalf of the applicant.
For the record, Mark Dunkel with Parkowski, Gerk, and Swayze Law Firm, 116 West Water Street, Dover, office in Georgetown and up in Wilmington, although I don't get up there very much. I do have a bigger one of the color site plan. If you don't mind, I'd like to pass it out to council. It's a little bit easier to see. But I am really, really pleased to be here to present on behalf of Skipjack, Inc. Skipjack, Inc. is a wholly owned subsidiary of Chesapeake Utilities, the gas company. And what we are proposing is essentially the next generation of alternative vehicle fueling. This facility includes a warehouse and an office and propane sales, but it also features a refueling station for propane-powered vehicles and compressed natural gas vehicles. It won't sell gasoline, and it won't sell diesel.
Can you get coffee?
You probably, if you go inside and are friendly with one of the office works, but there's no convenience store associated with this at all.
But it was a Wawa.
So there's no Wawa and no Wawa planned. So, I've submitted the booklet that Planning Commission saw, and you're going to hear from engineers and safety people that know a lot more than the lawyer does. But just as an overview, you know, under one, of course, we gave you the site plan. As Mr. Lank referenced in the record, there are quite a few different businesses nearby on Route 113. Right on Piney Neck Road, there are two conditional uses right near us. Mr. Carpenter is a neighbor, is a chicken farmer. That's the Hanging Chad letter that came in, and we're really happy to get his letter of support. But there's a truck repair and a storage facility just down the road, and up towards Melvin Joseph, of course, you're probably all familiar with the businesses there, and we're up the highway from the Memorial Park. I really wanted to pull your attention to what's under tab 4, which is what's it going to look like, photos. And then I can bring up some of the industry experts to explain it. But the very first photo under tab 4 is actually a photo from right here in Georgetown. This is the Sharp facility on the highway, and they have a propane fueling station right there. That was sort of their pilot program. This application would replace this and be, you know, a much larger facility. And then the other photos in that tab just show you examples around the country of where these facilities are going in. And they're all at little different stages of evolution. This one with the buses sells diesel in addition to propane. You'll see the next one with this blue canopy. This is compressed natural gas and propane, and these units back here are the compressors. These things are in Pennsylvania and in Georgia and other places. This other example I have is propane. Ours is going to look a lot better than the one here with the tank. The gas pumps, so to speak, are separated quite a distance in this layout from the propane tanks. Of course, the natural gas comes underground in the pipeline. What I'd like to do, because we've got the engineer that can go over the site plan, it's pretty straightforward, but I would like to bring the different people up from Chesapeake to make a record to tell you how does this actually work, particularly with pumping natural gas and pumping propane at the site? What's the security and what's the safety? And of course, we'll answer any questions that you have, and I'll be back at the end to make my legal record on the proposed findings and facts, but I'd rather have the lawyer sit down and let the experts actually come up and talk to you.
Well, I do have a question for you.
Yes.
You said natural gas is going to come out of a pipe, so evidently Chesapeake is going to pipe it out there, right?
Well, natural gas right now runs up and down Route 113.
Okay.
There is, and we'll talk about that, there's a connection that needs to be made. I think it's between Millsboro and Georgetown to run it out to other facilities.
Okay.
But it will be piped from that supply over to this facility. And now I'm starting to get into deeper water, so I'd like to ask Shane Brakey from Chesapeake to come up first, identify himself, and explain to you, why this, we want this here and generally how it's going to work.
Go ahead. Good afternoon. I'm Shane Brakey, Director of Energy Services with Chesapeake Utilities. I've been with the company for over 20 years and can provide an update as to where our gas service is and talk about our history with compressed natural gas. Currently, we have a signed agreement to provide natural gas to the Stokely Center. And as of today, if you drive by there and you on the Avenue of Honor, you'll see some pipe being installed as we speak. So we are coming up from Millsboro and going east on the Avenue of Honor. And we'll also, besides the Stokely Center, be providing natural gas to the high school by the end of this year.
And Shane, for this facility, can you just explain why Chesapeake's moving into this area?
Natural gas as a vehicle fuel. We've been working with the state of Delaware, Department of Energy, DENREC. Natural gas reduces emissions significantly, especially versus diesel-powered equipment. Outside of Delmarva, especially like in Philadelphia or in Baltimore, you'll see more and more Class 8 vehicles switching over to natural gas, the long haulers, the trash trucks. Some people have stated that probably over 90% of all new trash trucks purchased will be powered off of natural gas. And the primary reason is the engines are quite a bit quieter on natural gas versus diesel. The SOx, sulfur emissions, goes down to almost zero, and you can be saving, $1, $2 a gallon equivalent when you switch to natural gas. So we're working with the state of Delaware to get the message out about natural gas. And one of the chicken and egg conundrums that you have is you need the fueling station first sometimes before you can build the market. So we're out there trying to get the word out. We do have a fueling station at our office in downtown Dover, Queen Street. It's not in the most user-friendly location. But we think that this location here in Georgetown would be good for the poultry industry with their semi-trucks as well as with DART.
I'd like to call up Bill Grady, who's safety.
Before you get away, how about Plantation Road? My neighbors are coming after me. You know how to get that gas line down here.
I can talk to you
later. I didn't want to put you on the spot.
Thank you, Shane. And if Shane's not going anywhere, he'll certainly be here for any questions. Bill, if you would introduce yourself to council, give us your title and your background, and then explain how it's actually going to work when a member of the public goes to this facility.
Sure. I'm Bill Grady. I'm Director of Corporate Safety and Compliance with Chesapeake Utilities. I'm a certified safety professional. I've been a safety professional for 25 years. With regard to the operation and maintenance, ongoing operation and maintenance, these are designed according to the most recent National Fire Protection Association, NFPA, codes and requirements. And so they meet that in terms of construction design and operation and maintenance. When a member of the public who is going to use the facilities, first of all, not anyone can access these facilities. They need to have preclearance through a key card access, which requires training before they can even get that, on the basic properties of either natural gas or propane, and then the safety considerations with propane or natural gas dispensing, and then the actual physical operation of the dispensing equipment itself. And that's done through both video and hands-on, so you get the full experience of seeing and then doing to get the full ability to safely dispense these products.
And so far, has your experience with Chesapeake and these facilities had a good safety record?
Yes, a very good safety record. We've had the CNG facility on our Queen Street for 20 years, I believe, almost 20 years, operated safely. And if you look across the nation, the propane and compressed natural gas facilities have been around for decades. We're just seeing more and more of them because of our turn toward natural gas and propane as fuels of choice. And they have a very good safety track record.
Right. So just as a recap, people will only be allowed to use the refueling station if they have a card, and they don't get a card unless they've had training?
That's correct.
Right. And then we'll go over the plan, but I've passed out to council and put up on the board. We've put red circles on the plan, and those circles mean gates. And so there's limited access to certain parts of the site from the public because the fueling section is 24/7. The rest of the site is not. It's business hours. And that's a way to keep safety and security. And also, although we would be permitted by DLDOT to have direct access from 113, Chesapeake's chosen not to do that, and all the access will be off of Piney Grove Road.
I'm glad.
Are you required to have on-site water storage for fire protection?
Yes, and I'd like to bring up the next person, Mr. Vincent, to ask her that question. Answer that question is Ron Patrick. Ron, if you would introduce yourself to members of council, your title and background.
My name is Ron Patrick. I'm director of facilities, construction, and assets for Sharp Energy, which is the propane division of Chesapeake Utilities. I've been doing that for about 40 years now.
If you can answer Mr. Vincent's question about water, and I think that's going to lead to your requirements, your safety requirements.
The propane facility that we plan to put in for the tanks, unlike we have down in Georgetown in town, we plan to put in what we call underground or mounded tanks. They'll be partly buried and covered with dirt. But even then doing that, Delaware still has some restrictions that require water. We will be required to store at least 30,000 gallons of water on site for fire protection.
Could you just give an explanation of, you know, what are the systems that are in place? If there is a problem, what happens?
There are many systems in place on propane. The biggest thing that was introduced years ago is called an ESV, or an emergency shutdown valve. All the systems, the entire propane operation, can be killed with the push of one button. That's usually filled with nitrogen. It's black plastic tubing so that if you have a fire, it would melt. If you have what we call a pull-away, if a truck were hooked up and loading or unloading and for some stupid reason drove off with a hose still hooked up, it would break that tubing. At any time you relieve the pressure of that nitrogen in that line, it shuts the entire system down. Even the propane fuel station that would fill alternative fuel vehicles would have that same system.
Is that used in place of excess flow valves or in addition to, or where years ago with propane, if a line got severed and too much fluid, try to move fluid, one that would shut it down?
Years ago, the only thing that was used, and it wasn't really a requirement, was what they called an excess flow.
Right.
And that just closed by a rush of gas moving quickly through a piece of pipe.
So this works in place of that? What you're
exactly. Okay. The problem with that was if the pipe didn't sever all the way, you could continue to spill propane. Mm-hmm. Now that's prevented completely.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. This certainly is futuristic, I think. And but I'm wondering, I guess it's something to do with all the fracking that's going on, because we have more available to us. Is that correct?
The fracking has actually made it easier for us to get propane, that's
right.
For sure.
Okay.
But that's not the reason for this facility or the growth.
No, I'm just saying that we do have the fracking going on. We have more gas at our disposal as a country.
Yes.
And you hear we have this, and this is a very futuristic, I believe. You think a lot of cars are going to use it, or you think really the trucks are going to use it, buses, trucks? That's all I'm asking.
As Mr. Brakey pointed out earlier, we have a lot of vehicles already on propane, buses.
Okay.
Vehicle, cars, trucks, pickups.
Okay.
Of all sizes.
And what if the fracking were to stop?
Well, fracking just came in a few years ago. So, I mean, propane, there's a lot of propane in this country that can be drilled and is drilled in different places. But it's also a huge import to us before fracking started. We imported a lot of propane in this country.
From where?
From Saudi Arabia, from all over the world.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And you, in answering Ms. Deaver's questions, you got to my next one. Ron, do you see a demand for this expanded facility now with your experience with propane in Georgetown?
Absolutely. Our growth, we started in the alternative fuels about a year and a half ago, and we have far exceeded our growth expectations just because of the amount of companies and government agencies that have jumped on board.
I believe it.
And Ron, let me ask you this long-winded question. Do you think that the proposed use for this site at this location for the propane fueling and the natural gas fueling would be essential and desirable for the general health, safety, and convenience of the public in Sussex County and for the future citizens of Sussex County?
Absolutely.
That's the right answer. If I could ask David DeCaro from Chesapeake Utilities to come up, please.
It seems like you got everybody here. Is anybody working today?
No, they're all off.
they're automated.
Even Bob Stickles is off.
Yeah.
He still thinks it's Columbus Day.
He was retired.
David, if you would sign in.
I bet he had off on Columbus Day. His old government
introduce yourself and your title. And basically, would you let council know about the economic effect of your facility and the jobs.
My name is Dave DeCaro, Strategic Projects Director for Chesapeake Utilities. The planned facility that we're going to have is going to be 60 permanent jobs. 32 new positions will be moving in from offices in Maryland into Delaware, and we'll have approximately 6 new positions overall with the project.
So they will be doing what, running your accounts or something?
Propane operations and natural gas operations.
You need that many people to run that?
That's what we're using.
Okay, all right.
And David, am I correct that sort of to get an economy of scale and a return on your investment, you've put a lot of different diverse things on this site in addition to the going ahead and committing to the infrastructure of the future? You've got an office and a warehouse and other more traditional facilities.
Correct.
All right. That helps you justify spending the money with corporate, I guess, on this location.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Okay. So we're going to have the big white tanks, or no?
Some partially buried
tanks.
What?
He's partially buried, they said. Early on, they said.
Partially buried.
Buried.
Yeah, they won't be set up.
They won't be as visible?
No.
Okay.
I think that's a cue to bring up the engineer. Garth Jones with Becker Morgan is here, really to give you an expert tour of the site. I would like you to introduce yourself and then answer the question. Does this site plan that's been submitted with conditional use application meet Sussex County requirements in your opinion? Go ahead, introduce yourself and qualify yourself.
I'm Garth Jones. I work for Becker Morgan Group, 309 South Governors Avenue, Dover, Delaware. I'm a licensed professional engineer. I've been practicing engineering for 25 years. And yes, the conditional use site plan that we submitted does meet the county requirements, planning zoning requirements.
And again, if you could just sort of explain the red circles and the traffic flow that's here. And while you're getting your board, I don't know, Mr. Lank, if you received, maybe you mentioned I missed it, that we did actually receive our letter of no objection from DelDOT dated today.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, we'll hand it in then today. It came in a little bit late.
So I'll just go over the site with you real quickly. The site, the buildings there in the yellowish-orange are actually going to front on 113. Mm-hmm. All access, though, to the site will be from East Piney Grove Road. We're actually setting up two entrances. The first entrance, when you come off of 113, will be for customers and employees parking. The second entrance further down on East Piney Grove Road will be for more of the truck and the service vans, and also to access the auto gas facility for propane and compressed natural gas. Mr. Dunkel said, we have met with DLDOT. We've submitted a plan. We've got our letter of no objection as of today. The site we're showing in the light green is roughly about 15 acres. We're putting a cross-access easement on the bottom so that this service road or road can be extended in the future if there's any future development of the property. And as we work through the process, we'll be going through the stormwater and state fire marshal approval as well. And we've got the site kind of split up into two segments. We call phase one, which is closer to Piney Grove Road, will be more of the propane side. And then phase two would be on the north side of the site. That's more of the compressed natural gas side. And the red circles were put on to illustrate where gates will be located for security.
And I did want to bring council to the end of the booklet, which is tab 7. We have submitted proposed conditions, and we're almost real happy with the proposed conditions from planning and zoning, with one little exception. Our recommended approval section 3 is about the signage, and in a conditional use under the code, as you know, you can ask for and obtain B1 signage, what's allowed in the B1. And the recommendation from planning and zoning is almost that. It talks about the two ground signs that are allowed. Because we're on an intersection of two roads, we could have two ground signs, pylon signs. But we're also allowed signs on the building, and that's what I think they forgot, quite frankly. That's what's left out of the recommendation is the signs on the building. Under the B1, you can get 150 square feet signage on the building, and we'd really like to have that too. They want to be able to be seen and understood and identified, from the traveling public. So I would ask if you do your wisdom decide to recommend and approve this conditional use that the additional provision of 150 square foot of signage on the building or simply the signage that's allowed in the B1, that works too, be added on. Like I said, I've got a whole bunch of talent here on the pews. If you had any more questions, they're very excited to make this expansion in Sussex County. We've been working with Kenny Adams and the Joseph family. That's where this property is partially located on. Like I said, they're really pleased. And if anything else I can add, I'd be happy to do that, or I'd be happy to sit down.
Questions, Council? Question.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Is there anyone here to speak in favor of this application?
While Mr. Timmons is signing his name before he speaks, the applicant did provide me a copy of the letter of no objection for recordation for this site plan from DLDOT.
Mm-hmm.
I do have that document.
Okay.
I'm in favor of...
Sir, can you state your name, please?
Oh, yeah. Terry Timmons, 32288 River Road, Millsboro. I'm in favor of this application because I have a small commercial property building a mile north of that. And I'm hoping they'll build up enough infrastructure that I could possibly get natural gas there at some point in time. Mm-hmm. And looks like they've thought it out well on putting an entrance off of 113 on East Piney Grove Road, so that eliminates some of the problems on the 113 corridor.
So you think they may run a line up to your place?
Excuse me?
You think they may run a line up to your place, is what you're saying?
Well, it goes by there now, but I can't get on it, but I'm hoping
so. So it wouldn't have to go too far. Okay.
No.
Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Timmons? Thank you. Anyone else in favor of this application?
My name is James H. Baxter IV. Most of you here know me as Jay. I reside at 24933 Governor Stokely Road. That's in Georgetown. Just wanted to come up here and say that I was in favor of this project. My wife and I own about approximately 56 acres of land on East Piney Grove Road, one piece of property adjacent to this, and my family owns a corporation as a family farm. We own about 150 acres adjacent to this property to the north. That is on Governor Stokely Road. So as a landowner in the area and a business owner in the area and a resident of the area, I am in favor of this, and I think the county is doing a wonderful job in growing its infrastructure and business scope for the county. So keep up the good work.
Thank you.
In what relationship are you to Bill Baxter, the one with the crazy hairdo?
That would be my cousin.
Good.
Be my cousin. My father and his father were brothers.
I
had the honor of working with both of those men in my younger years.
God bless you.
Years old. Going back to work?
Yes, I am. There is an old man that gives his regards to many of you here, and he left me with the word to get back to work as soon as possible. So
we understand. Tell him we said hi.
For sure.
Any questions of Mr. Baxter relating to the application?
No, we were just trying to socialize a little bit.
All right, thank you. Anyone else here to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? No one has indicated any opposition, Mr. Vincent. So the public hearing part is closed.
We'll close public hearing and close public comments. Okay with council? Ask Mr. Rutt to read the short
but there was the question raised about the signage.
Oh, that's right. Well, we can deal with that
after you read it.
Under motion, that's fine.
Right.
Okay.
I
have a suggestion. Okay. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a commercial propane storage and CNG propane dispensing office and warehouse to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 15.00 acres more or less, with the findings of fact of the Planning Commission and recommendations A through G of the Planning Commission.
Mr. President, I would like to defer to Mr. Lank for some wording on signage.
There you go.
I think B1
Mr.
would be good.
This reference to the signage was item E as a condition of approval. If I may read suggestion.
Please.
And this is revised as based on what the commission recommended. The applicant shall have two lighted ground signs, which covers the two signs along the public roads, not to exceed 200 square feet per side. One sign shall be located along Route 113. The other shall be located along East Piney Grove Road. And expanding upon that, the reference to the building, if council does not object, signage on buildings shall be subject to the sign regulations and the zoning ordinance relating to B1 zoning classifications.
That's good.
Okay. I'll make a motion. We make that a condition or amend condition
A.
Would that be, amending or adding?
That would be an amendment. Amendment to condition 70.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second Mrs. Deaver to amend 7E as read by Mr. Lank. Right. Any questions on that motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
I would yes. Motion carried. Now then. We can have a motion to approve with the conditions as amended.
I'll make it.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Mr. Cole. Yes. To approve conditional use 1997 for the reasons that with the conditions as read as amended. Questions on that motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, I'm very pleased to see this application, and I agree with planning and zoning. And of course, I'm saying I agree with the conditions as amended. Very pleased. Wish them a lot of luck.
Cole?
I'll vote yes with the condition, with the amended conditions.
Phillips?
I'll vote yes with the conditions and recommendation.
I also agree with the conditions and recommendations as amended. I'll vote yes. Motion approved. Now then, let's back up to conditional use 1994.
You're welcome.
Is Mr. Robert Wilkerson or somebody representing him here?
The applicant is not present.
That is correct.
The attempt was made to contact the applicant earlier. There was no response or no answering of the phone service. The ordinance provides that if a petitioner, applicant, or appellant fails to appear or appear by agent or fails to withdraw his application as provided for in subsection E hereof, a petition requesting an amendment, supplement, or change substantially similar shall not be reconsidered sooner than 1 year after their previous failure to appear or failure to withdraw. And that is from the administrative section of the zoning code, section 115-216.
So we have no option.
There is no option.
Read it.
So we would have it read the short title.
Find the right one here.
1994.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an automobile repair shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 1.5 acres more or less, tax map ID 23022, 18.09, being conditional use 1994, filed on behalf of Robert Wilkerson.
Make a motion we deny conditional use 1994 due to
no record.
Lack of a record at the public hearing.
No applicant.
We have to make a motion in the affirmative.
Do we have to make a motion to approve and then if you're okay, make a motion to deny it? And
no, we did it. I think last week we did a deny.
We have to make a motion to deny, can we not?
Yeah, we can do it.
Since there was no record of support.
Right, no record.
So we have a motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
To deny conditional use 1994 due to a lack of record and lack of appearance by the applicant.
I don't have any choice.
Any question on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips?
I'll vote yes for lack of record.
I vote yes also. We have no option. So the motion is, that motion is carried, which it defeats the conditional use 1994.
You win.
Make a motion we adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Mr. Phillips, any question on the motion?
Just a minute, Mr. President.
Yeah. What?
He's in violation. What's the next procedure?
You can discuss have it with Mr. Lank as soon as we adjourn.
Staff will take the next process to advise he has to close down.
Okay. He has 1 year to wait before he could reapply.
We'll take the vote to adjourn. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Now we are adjourned.
Mm-hmm.